Well, it's good to be home, and it's good to be in the house of God. You know, God does so many miraculous things. We thank God for Agnes's brother. He was in a motorcycle accident over in the UK. They thought they're going to have to do brain surgery and all kinds of other things, and he's doing well, right? He's recovering faster, and the doctor said, we're not sure why. Well, we know why. He's got a praying sister that alerted the body of Christ, and we all came together and lifted him up in prayer. And so we thank God for that. And then there's the Johnson standing in the back, and today they celebrate 32 years of marriage. You know, they're such beautiful gifts to my life personally. Both of them. Faithful, standing true to the word of God, and serving their king. And I just love you guys dearly. You know, we were down in Tennessee, and I know my wife shared with some. When we were down there working on Nick and Nicole's house, we found out that they're pregnant again. So that'll be grandbaby number 11. And we're like, yes, keep them coming. Keep them coming, Lord. And so that'll be in November. You know, I was down there. One of his buddies was a contractor, and he was out in Kansas, southwest Kansas, and he has trailer fishtailed on the water and drove it, put his truck off the road, and when it hit, it just stopped, and he broke his back in two places. And so he's got some healing from that. He can work and stuff a little bit now, and now he's a singer, and his name's Kyle. And so I got a chance to pray for Kyle for healing. And then his other buddy, Chad, who's a singer, he came out of Florida. My son's got some colorful friends down there in Tennessee. And redneck to the max, this boy is. And he takes guys on turkey hunts down in Texas and elk hunts out in Montana. And he sings down there and works down in Tennessee. And just good guys that he's surrounded with. And they all come and volunteer to work at his house while he was fixing it up. So we're very grateful for that. But I thank God for the opportunity to pour into these guys' lives, you know. And Chad, he's got his fiance, and he doesn't know when he's going to get married, so I had a half an hour of explaining why he needs to do it now. And he listened, and very kind, and I said, look, he said, I don't have the money to buy the ring. I said, I got money, I'll give you money to buy the ring. Oh. Well, yeah, but I'm not sure where, right here in this living room. I'll take care of it. I'll come back in, and I'll do it, Chad. Oh. Every excuse he came up with, we got rid of. And so just a wonderful time, because when you bring, you know, my daughter-in-law blessed us because she just wrote a text and she said, thanks, because every time you guys come, you are such a bright light in a very dark place. You know, and that's the testimony that I want to have, that we just share the love of God wherever we go. Nashville is a dark place, you know, and any major city is. But we got to just share the love of God, and it was such a beautiful, beautiful time. Of course, we work from 6 in the morning till 9 at night, so that was always wonderful. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 12. And I know Pastor Jeff taught on forgiveness a couple of weeks ago. And then he, a great word on forgiveness. I get to watch him online when I'm not here. And then, of course, Ethan, then he brought, what was it on? Oh, yeah, deliverance. Just kidding. He preached on deliverance. And, you know, I'm so grateful for my daughter's deliverance from those night terrors. I didn't even know she was still having them. And so we're thankful for God's deliverance in that. And I want you to know, no matter what you struggle with, our God's enough. Amen? Amen? I don't know what the thought is that consumes you, but I know that you're consumed with thoughts that are outside the Word of God many days and many nights. But when we start to consume ourselves with the Word of God and with the power of God's Word, everything in our lives start to change. And so this morning, I just want to reiterate some things and just share, if you return to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's a very familiar scripture, and prayerfully, most everybody in here has memorized it already. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I had to do this in the King James because that's how I memorized it. It was a long time ago. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is just something that's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. This is about proving every single day. Every single day, you're going to have to proofread every thought that comes into your head. Yeah. This is the filter. The filter is always the Word of God. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't think there's a greater topic in the scriptures once we get past Galatians 2:20 or get to an understanding of Galatians 2:20, right? And that's, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives inside of me. So once we get that foundational piece or the crux of it all, then it's about the renewing of our mind. And if there's anything that I found out in all the counseling for years and years that we've done here for the last 24 years and in other churches, whether we were down in, like we were just down in Tucson, a couple different churches, and every single thing comes from thoughts in the mind. Everything in your life gets stirred up, whether it's something that somebody else did against you. Anybody ever have somebody do something against you you didn't like? Right. Does that thought consume you, or does his thought about you consume you? You see, this is where God's bringing us to, where his word and his thoughts consume us rather than any other thoughts in our mind. It's an area that most people lose that battle day after day in some areas. So many times we'll say, listen, the Bible says, think on these things. And people just say, yeah, okay. And then they go back to thinking. Some of you are looking at your cell phones now and thinking about what you're going to do after here. Some are thinking about eating. I always think about eating. Some are thinking about where you're going to go play, where you're going to go work, where you're going to, oh, not on the Sabbath. Sorry, that's the wrong church. Ain't no working on the Sabbath, right? Unless somebody's donkey's in a ditch. Anybody got a donkey in a ditch? All right, then today is the Lord's day. All right? This is about building into somebody else's life and loving on somebody else and taking time away from what we planned. So each and every day and every morning when we arise, we're going to have to, there's always a battle that goes on of which thoughts are going to consume us for today. We encourage you this morning that you're free in Christ. Amen? So if you're free in Christ, just wave your hand this morning. You see, because some people are like, I'm not raising my hand in church. You know, as I was praying earlier, and I just reminded everybody that strong men sing. I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't. Not about you guys. But there was no singing that was going on because they all sounded good. I didn't. And I wasn't raising my hands either. I did this. I turned them over. And then I got to here, right, the half-mast, and then got up here and the three-quarter mass and then threw them in the air to one day and thought, everybody's looking at me. I was the only one even thinking about me. Nobody else in that church even knew I was there that day. But yet in our head, it's so much bigger. Why? Because our thoughts consume. Right? We sang that song, we lift our hands. And so many people say, I'm not doing it. I don't care what the song says. I don't care what anybody else says. But I want you to know, all of your victories come through surrender. Salvation came through surrender. We surrendered who we were to who he said we will be. Right? Whatever, whoever it was, anyone that comes into the house of God or into the kingdom of God comes in the same way through surrender. And that's always an issue in the brain. Everybody has the thought, will you surrender or will you stand and do it your way? My way did not achieve what I was looking for. Billy Graham said, most of all, let the word of God fill you and renew your mind every day. When our minds are on Christ, Satan has little room to maneuver. Amen. Very little room to maneuver. See, but if you're always talking about your thoughts, your desires, what somebody else did, if you're always complaining and griping and being miserable, then those are the thoughts that are filling your head. Nothing good comes from that. Nothing good. Who wants to be around somebody that's miserable all the time? Don't look at the, I saw some people look next. There's no condemnation for whoever got looked at, all right? But it's a time for change in each one of us, and it all comes through a thought process. Lester Summerall, a man walked into his office. Lester Summerall was an amazing man of God. I used to listen to him all the time when he was younger. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And one man walked in that loved the Lord. He was a pastor. And he just wanted to know, I want to make sure I know what God's called me to do. You know, and don't raise your hands, but how many still are trying to figure out what God called you to do? What is it specifically, Lord, that you want me to do? The worship team is up here doing what they were called to do. Amen? Right? Part of what he called you to do was like the two ladies that prophesied. How many are encouraged by the words of prophecy that came this morning? Right. How many more people in here had a word of prophecy and didn't share it? How many more have held back because you were worried about what somebody else would think in this room? Or maybe you're going to get it wrong. Maybe you're going to get it right. That's my thinking. And guess what happens if you get it wrong? We're going to talk about it. We're going to encourage you. And then we're going to say, go do it again. Isn't that what you did when your kids fell off their bicycle? Isn't that what you did when they lied through their teeth the first time to you? Didn't matter how good or bad it was. We just encouraged them to get up and do it again. And I want to encourage you. Not lie, but riding a bike, I mean, you know. They did that again all on their own. But this pastor came into Lester Summerall's office. He opened the door and he walked in. Lester Summerall was writing. He was writing a note on his notepad. He didn't even look up. Never even looked up. And he said, you want to know what the will of God is? Read the Bible. Do the Bible. And he just kept writing. And the guy just stood there. Okay. Simple, isn't it? How hard is that? How did other men and women of God step out in faith? They read the Bible, then they did the Bible. That's it. You want to know what to do? Read the Bible. God's going to stir your heart in an area, and then step out and do it. Tell somebody else about the Lord. Listen, if you like to be around people a lot, and you like to talk to people, and you're interested in their stories, and you don't care where you are, you probably are an evangelist. If you like to sit in a room with a book and read it and dissect it, you've probably got a teaching gift. It's not that hard to figure out. But you see, when we read the Bible, the thing that God grips you with, some people have been called and they've gone and they've worked in an orphanage their whole lives. Right? Your Mother Teresa, right? She spoke to presidents, to kings and princes around the world by just going and serving in an orphanage. And she died with three sets of clothing. Two or three. Can't remember. Two pair of shoes, three dresses, and a cot that she slept on in an orphanage. And she stood before kings because she cared not what people thought. She cared not about the possessions of this world, knowing that they are all temporal. See, the thought in her mind, she was renewing her mind and said, I just want to serve the king in any way he allows me to. See, there's a difference in thought process. Lord, this is what I want to do. Bless it. Or Father, thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. What you spoke in eternity over my life, right? Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar passage. A very familiar passage, right? I know the plans that I have for you. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Tell your other neighbor, say, that's definitely you. All right? Because not one of us in this room, myself included, have fulfilled all that God spoke over our lives before we were ever born. Not one has done it all. There's more work for us to do, but it's not work trying to earn or trying to do. It's work on enjoying who God is and then doing what he asks us to do. How about we learn how to enjoy God a whole lot more? Do you like sitting next to the person you're next? Honey, I would be sitting next to you. I like sitting next to you, okay? You like sitting next to Alice? She's nice. Your buddy Steve? Good. I'd rather sit next to the Lord and listen to him than sit next to anybody else in this room. Can I tell you, God wants to sit next to us more than he wants to sit next to anybody else on the planet. That's how we have to see it. What? That's the renewing of the mind. So many feel like an outcast. So many feel like I've made too many mistakes. I don't know what I'm doing. God said, no doubt. That's why I didn't ask you to create anything. He's good like that. He didn't ask us to have it all together. He just asked us to come, all those who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Isn't he a good God? Some people are so anxious right now. Some are so afraid of this week coming. They can't stop thinking about all that they have to accomplish. Can I tell you, most of what you're going to accomplish this week has nothing to do with changing people's lives. How sad is that for the body of Christ? Because if we're going to be like him, we're going to have to start to act like him. Amen? And in order to act like him, we're going to have to think like him. In order to think like him, we're going to have to read what the Word of God says. And then we're going to have to do what the Word of God says instead of just thinking about it. What are we spending our time doing is the issue. You know, the renewing of the mind, the most important aspect of the Christian walk that I can think of. We receive salvation according to the Word of God. We receive the gift of the Holy Ghost according to the Word of God. It is the truth. John 18, 37, it says, Jesus said, or Pilate said to Jesus, he said, "You are a king." And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Everyone on the side of truth listens to him. What are we listening to? Because if you're listening to things that are outside the Word of God that you shouldn't be listening to, you're not listening to him. Because he said, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth." Amen? Don't let it come out of your mouth. Why is it coming out of your mouth? Because of the stuff that we're putting in our head. What's the problem with the things in our head? We're not renewing our mind according to the Word of God. Because when we renew our mind according to the Word of God, the only thing that comes out of our mouths is the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes, faith comes. When the Word of God comes, faith comes. Doesn't matter where you walk. Doesn't matter how they receive it. Doesn't matter how they respond to you. But when you speak the Word of God, that power is released through you. Why is it that so many times we speak of so many things and yet the Word of God never comes out of our mouths? Everyone on the side of truth listens to me, Jesus said. Listens to me. We got to get better at listening. We don't have a problem speaking a lot of times. And sometimes when we do speak, we don't speak of those things that we should. We speak of things that destroy. We speak of things that are very temporal. We speak of things that shouldn't be uttered by those that are in the house of God. We've got to go back to what the Word of God said. The Father desires, or his desire is that we walk in the truth with him as we walk with a friend. You know, that repentance, and we always got to start off with that repentance. And it's a Greek word, metanoia, and it means to change your mind or change the way that you think. Here we are. This is the end of, what's that, January, February, March, right? Or April? April. Sorry. That's a lot of traveling last month, all right? The end of April. A quarter of the year is gone. We fasted and we prayed in January. God's going to do something different. We studied the Word of God. We pressed in. We got a word from God. We wrote the Word of God down. The question is, what has changed in our lives since the first of the year? One quarter of this year is gone. It's over. Huh? There's 4, 8, 12, a third. What month is it? Who am I? I'm a preacher. I wasn't a mathematician, all right? A third of the year is over. You with me, love? You was just in agreement with me? You're just too kind. Thanks, love. So a third of the year is over. What has changed in your life of the things that God spoke over your life at the beginning of the year? What have we applied to our lives that he spoke? And what have we thrown to the side and said, well, we'll give it another shot next year? Or, well, things have changed. I want you to know God's opinion of you hasn't changed. God's plan for your life this year hasn't changed. The word that he spoke over your life at the beginning of the year hasn't changed. Everything that he's put in your hands is for the transformation of someone else's life. When we renew our mind, he always multiplies what you give. Can we agree on that? Everything you give kind words, you're going to reap kind words. You give encouragement, you're going to reap encouragement. You sow the natural things, right? The unrighteous mammon, he calls it, the finances. You sow that, you're going to get finances. You sow other stuff, you're going to get other stuff. Anything that you give, he can multiply. He can't multiply what you hang on to. So if you call anything yours, he can't multiply that. Because everything that we have is his, amen? He gave us the ability to get wealth, the scripture says. So everything of ours, we're simply stewards. Why? Because you're not from here. You're aliens. Living proof. The FBI doesn't need to go search any farther than just come to the household of faith. Aliens are real. You are. You're sojourners in this land. Is that a reality in the mind, or am I storing up on this earth all that I want to make my life easier and forgetting or casting off the call of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God for my own desire, my own comfort, my own purpose, my own whatever? Is that what this life is about? Because you see, if that's the case, then we have to renew the mind. Can we all agree? You know, the ones that walked away from it all have it all. Last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was this quarter or this third, maybe it was January or February or March or April, I don't know. But in 1 week, I talked to three different millionaires. We all had conversation. We had a conversation on all different times of the week, not talking together. They don't even hang out. They don't even spend time with each other. And all three millionaires said the same thing to me. They all said the same thing. They said, "What is it all about?" One said, "What am I going to do? Work until I'm dead? Just keep gathering and working until I'm dead? What is it all about?" Another one, he come up to me and he said, "Listen, you know, I've been looking at this stuff," and somebody asked me about the Mormon religion, you know, and they said it's the same as Christianity. That ain't true. I said, nowhere in the scripture does it say I get my own planet. And my wife is not very keen on the other thought that they have or the other reality that the Mormons have, that she stays eternally pregnant. That don't sound like heaven to her. And he said, "What? That lady didn't tell me anything about this." I said, "No, they're not going to tell you the truth." And I said, "This is what the Word of God says." And we went down through the whole thing. And he said, "Why is it that I'm just grabbing a hold of this now?" I said, "Because you tried everything else and nothing else satisfied." You see, sometimes we have to, in our own flesh, we have to go and try everything else because we don't want to surrender. And the guy's a multimillionaire. And he said, "What is it all about?" I said, "I'm glad you asked." For the next half hour, I shared the things of God. We got done and he said, "You know something?" I said, "What?" He goes, "I think this Christianity stuff could really take off." He said, "I agree. Come on, let's walk together." And then another one, I sat and talked with him. His father passed away, and we're sitting there talking. And he said, "You know, what is it all about?" See, that's why we have to renew our minds so that we have the answers to tell them that are lost and they've tried everything. They've gathered it all unto themselves. Their bank accounts are overflowing. Their houses are huge and spectacular and gorgeous. Their cars are brand new and the newest creature features in every area there is in their car. And yet they said, "What's it all about? What am I doing with my life?" And I got to share about how John 17:3 says it's about knowing God in Christ, his son. Change is coming. Amen. Change is coming to three millionaires' lives because they had the courage to ask the question, "What is it all about?" See, because it takes a lot of guts to say, "I don't know." It takes a lot of courage to say, "I'm clueless. I've got more than you. I own more than you. I've done more than you. I've worked harder than you." These are all the things they don't say with their mouths, but that's the attitude when they walk in. Right? That's the way that they think. But then they say, "What did I do it all for?" And that's when you have the words of life. Because when you bring the words of life through a renewed mind, through the power of God's word, then it starts to make sense to them. And then they start to change the way that they think. And then they start to ask more questions. I thank God for that. Thank God for questions. I did a funeral yesterday over in Catskill, a lady I've never met before. And we got, is Jasmine here? Jasmine? No, she didn't come. She lied to me. Some things are hard to die, kill, you know what I mean? But Jasmine, she comes up to me after the funeral. Now, here at a funeral, hey, can you pray for me? I'm pregnant. I want to pray a blessing upon my baby. I say, come on, Jasmine, let's have a seat. And so we sat there and we chatted after a funeral and we just talked about the things of God for a half an hour. And then her fiance came out and I talked with him and working things out and changing the way that they think because they had some misunderstandings of how things work. I don't care what they've done, but I want them to see how to go from here. But I can't lead them unless I renew my mind and I know what the word of God says on how to walk in victory. Amen? Because I'm not going to try to tell them to do something just because we think it's a good thing. But I want them to walk out a God thing. And I'm telling you, we had such an amazing time in prayer, sitting there in a funeral home of people that I've never met before. But they were touched when we read the word of God in when someone died. That's not usually the spirited message that people get encouraged about dying. But when you know him, death is a beautiful thing. Amen? When you know Jesus Christ, then even in the darkness, that marvelous light shines. Luke 11:28, it says, but he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Tell your neighbor, say, observe it. Many have been hearing. Listen, some, I'll look down. Maybe you've been sitting here for many years and you've been hearing the word of God, but to observe it means a little bit different. It means to keep it under watch, to maintain it, watch it carefully, to agree with it, to accomplish it. So we can't just be hearers of the word and not doers. Amen? But again, it's about renewing the mind. What did Moses say in Exodus 33:13? He said, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor in you. See, so this is about learning God's ways so that we can find favor. We can get to know him. He's a father. He's the king of glory. He's the almighty. And he's our friend. How friendly are you with the king? How hard is it to make a friend? I mean a true friend. One that you can trust with your innermost thoughts. One that you can be open and honest with. That's what marriage is supposed to be. Are you pretty open with me, love? Okay, I'm just checking. I didn't want to assume anything, you know. But there's nothing in my life my wife doesn't know about. They say that the average person in their whole lifetime has 3 close friends. That's it. What does that tell you about how much it takes to build a close friendship? Yeah. Right? What's the biggest thing you got to do? Spend time together. Guess what's going to happen in that friendship? You're going to disagree. You don't have a friend until you fight.
That's right.
I got a lot of friends in this room. You don't have a friend until you disagree and you walk through it. Amen? Marriage, you walk through it, and then we have a friendship that is incredible. We have a life that's incredible when you walk through it, but it takes a lot to make a friend. It's not just about everybody agrees. Hi, Mark, would you be my best friend? Just check yes or no. Here's the piece of paper. It's not how it works. It takes time. You know, isn't it funny how some people you just click with? Some people, you meet them one time, and it's like, oh, yeah, this will work. This will work. This is a piece of cake. And you just sit down, and you could talk for hours, and you hardly met them. I meet a lot of people like that. I meet them in the airport. I meet them in restaurants, and we just talk. And I love to hear their hearts and hear what's going on in their lives. And then I love to bring the word of God. And then sometimes it walks in and it works into a relationship. How many friends do you have? Well, let me ask you this. How many have you ever gone on vacation with? Nobody goes on vacation with me, man. That's my time. But you find out to build a friend to go on vacation because that's your innermost workings. They're going to see you when you get out on vacation. They're going to see how you act, what you desire, what you want to do, where you want to go, what it looks like in the morning, what it sounds like in the morning. All kinds of crazy stuff happens when you go on vacation. It's wonderful. But when you allow someone that close to you, you start to get a little bit nervous. And most people, we keep at arm's length, don't we? But I think that some of that we've kept God at arm's length. Because some are afraid to allow him in that close to look that in depth into our hearts, to really look at us and say, I don't know if he'll reject me. I'm telling you, he won't. He won't. And if you feel like I really can't spend that much time with the Lord, it's because you don't know him and the mind isn't renewed. Because when the mind starts to get renewed and you start to find out that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother and he's a father to you, Abba Father, our dad, and he desires it. We went down there to help Nick and Nicole and working on their house. And we were sitting there and we replumbed the master bathroom, you know, and did some electrical work and other things. And then I was walking through going to get some more parts and tools. And Nick just stopped me. He said, hey, Dad, what? He said, come here. And he just gives me the hug. You know, he's 6'2", 265. He just gives me a hug. And he just said, Dad, I just love you. Here's my wallet. Here's a... That's all it took. He said, I love you. We came home and I drove up to Mike and Jenny's house. I hadn't seen him in like 2 weeks because we were gone and then a lot of meetings and stuff. And I just went up and sat. Mike wasn't there, just Jenny and the kids and her sisters in from California with her three boys, and she's pregnant with number four boy. And I just sat there and we just talked. And then Mike calls me later on. He says, hey, Dad. I said, what? He said, I just want you to know, thanks for going and seeing my wife and my kids. I said, well, okay, I love going to see your wife. No, it just really means a lot to me, Dad, when you take time out to go see my wife and kids. Okay, here's my wallet. Here's my... I'll give you anything I want or anything I got. Can I tell you, that's what God's looking for from us. He's not looking for you to try to accomplish some great feat. He's going to do that if you'll get to know him, if you'll spend time with him, if you'll just come in and take the time. Yesterday, I didn't have anything to do in the morning and getting ready for the funeral, and I just sat in our living room. Gavin was at a track meet, and Landon was working, and Bren was gone. She was down here to music practice, or they were doing a training, and I'm just sitting there, and it's raining outside, and I've got the Word of God, and I just sat there looking out. And we got this duck, there's mallards, the male and the female made a nest a foot and a half from our front steps. And she's got 14 eggs right there by our front door. We come in and out of our front door every day. And she's underneath you can't even see her underneath there. But I was just sitting there praying, and I would go out, and I would just look under the bush. Yep, she's on the eggs because it's cold out. And so I want to get a little bit of food, and I want to put it there when she goes off to eat. So she has a little something to eat while she's sitting on the eggs. Because we know you girls have it tough when it comes to having children. I learned some things, okay? I learned some things when my wife was giving birth. And so this female duck just sitting there, and I just sat there thinking at the awe and the wonder of our King. Just in all the different color of the ducks that come to our pond. How spectacular is he? And the more I thought about what he's created, the more I just started to sit and talk with the King. And the more I sat and talked, the more I cried. I don't know about you, but when I get in close to the Lord and he starts to shed all of this stuff, you ever have that? Where he starts to shed the things of this world, the thoughts of this world, the desires of this world, and then all of a sudden he comes in and he fills the room. You know, we sing that song all the time. When you walk into the room, everything changes. If you'll go and spend time with the Father, renewing the mind and saying, you know what? You're right. I don't need to be around people as much as I am. There'll be times and seasons for that. But I need to be able to hear his voice a lot clearer. He's going to speak things to you that you never knew. Kia's going to have wisdom when she walks into that board meeting. God's going to give her things that she never studied. Stuff that she read a long time ago, and he's going to bring it back to her remembrance. And he's going to give her wisdom to speak, and it's going to be the wisdom that changed people's lives. I want to encourage you that when you sit with him, everything starts to change. Moses said, teach me your ways so I may know you. How are we going to know his ways? We read his word. When we start to read his word, we start to know his ways. We start to know his ways. We start to understand him. We start to understand him. We start to get excited. I don't know about you, but I do. Because when I start to understand who God is and how he's used other men and women of God on the earth, and he's no respecter of persons, then he wants to use me the same way. That gets me excited. Right? And what did God do? God gave you an imagination. We talked about this on Wednesday night. He gave you an imagination. Some, you know, like Disney and them have taken it to an extreme, obviously, and now they've gone to another extreme. It's completely foolish. But God gave you an imagination. Did you ever imagine things in your mind that were so far beyond anything you could ever think? Can I tell you, sometimes that's God stirring it up because he wants you to be able to see what he can actually do with you. That's what God does. He allows you to be sitting there. Next thing you know, you're praying for people. Dead people are rising up. You're preaching and thousands of people are getting saved. Wherever you're walking on water. Anybody ever think about that? I do it all the time. I always think about walking on water. One time I'm walking from here to Athens and I'm going over there to preach. And I'm going across a river. And you're coming with me. Oh, we're all going. Well, yeah, because faith always changes other people's lives too. Amen? Why not? What do you imagine in your life? Is it always about another house, another car, another dollar bill, another vacation? Is it always about that? That's the only place where the imagination walks? Because if that's the case, we are so far outside of renewing the mind, because what God's desire is that other people's lives are changed and set free like ours. Just tell your neighbors, I am free. You see, the key is that in an imagination, when it lines up with the word of God, God tries to expand your thought process, because we all have tunnel vision. We all narrow it down on the task that we have and what we want. We get a task on hand and everybody else disappears around us. Some of those high D personalities. My brother's one. My brother's a high D. I said, John, you'd rather finish the project than have friends. He said, so? I like an honest man. He understands it. I said, yeah, but that doesn't satisfy, does it? He said, no. I said, right, we got to change some things. He said, okay. But how many times have you grabbed a hold of one thing and we get tunnel vision? We get narrow-minded and we get so engrossed in us that God comes in now in that imagination. He says, wait a minute, imagine this. And you go, well, that's cool, but... And he said, no. And we try to narrow it down. Yeah, that's really cool, but... And he says, no, wait a minute. And he brings it again and he opens it up in your imagination. I can use you in this way. I can do anything I want through you if you'll allow me. Come and spend time with me. Get to know me. I've got a plan for your life, and it's here. It's not here. Most of the churches are here. That's why they're closing. Yeah. Your only thoughts are, what can we do to keep our doors open? They're more worried about keeping their doors open than they are about opening doors. Amen. Our job is to open doors in people's lives. Our job is to tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Our job is to remind you that all things are possible for them that believe. And if you believe in here and God has given you this, then you better run after that and start writing it down and say, Father, how are you going to do the impossible through this vessel that's all busted up and broken and you're putting it back together? Amen. Go now. And start writing it down and go do it. Because you're not allowed. You're not allowed to stand before God one day and say, nobody told me I could do it. I'm telling you today, you can do it. I'm telling you, your God can do it through you. I'm telling you that somebody needs to be sitting next to you next week, because he said, I'll do it through you if you'll open your mouth and believe that my word is that powerful to change somebody else's life and bring them into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. His word never returns void. Amen. Ah, that's page one. We hear about the miraculous. I pray that you see the miraculous happening through you. Yes. Miss Agnes called my wife and said, pray, my brother's been in an accident. Her brother is now being healed. Miracles happen. Amen. Some have come and said, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Greatest miracle the world has ever seen. But that can't be the end for you. Now the mind has to be renewed. Now the mind has to think like God. We have to spend time with God. When we spend time with him, allow him into the most intimate aspects of our lives. And then we sit there and we listen. That we would know his ways so we might know him in a greater way. How he wants to work through you. I'm telling you, his idea for you is here. And if you're living here, something's got to change. And we know for sure that our God never changes. He never, ever changes. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, he said, I'll use anyone who will surrender. I'll use anyone who will agree with me. I'll use anyone who will step out in faith. I'll use anyone when they surrender to what my word says. Anyone. That means you. Yeah, but I've been at this for a while, brother. It's a little long in the teeth here for my life. 90-year-old guy led 1,000 people to Christ in the hospitals in 1 year. 90 years old. Anybody here over 90? Good, you're all candidates for the miraculous. Kids praying for people and leading them to Christ at the ages of 6, 7, and 8. Anybody here under 6? Good, you're all candidates. These are the things that God's called us. If you'll renew your mind, if we'll renew our mind as the body of Christ, then we'll do the exceptional. We'll do the miraculous. We'll do the supernatural all the days of our lives. Amen? Stand up this morning. See, Moses knew that God was for him. Do you believe that God's for you? You really believe that he's for you? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Do you know what you have done? And you still think he likes you and he wants to use you? Well, some are convinced. Others are like, well, that's true. Maybe I should think about that. No, he wants to use you. Because you are his child. You are supernatural. You're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we agree that your word is truth. And Lord, I pray that as we walk out of here this morning, that everyone who's on the side of truth listens to you. Father, that we would walk out of here, and when you say, hey, pray for this one, hey, speak to that one, hey, encourage this one, hey, give that away, whatever it is, Father, I pray that we would just be those sons and daughters that say, wait a minute, Lord, I know it's you, and I'm going to act in obedience to your voice. Lord, because I want to know you more, and I know your ways. Your ways are always to give. You have given me a new life. You have given me a new name. You have given me a place to live when I close my eyes here on the planet for the last time. You've done it all. Father, I know your ways, but I want to know you. Help me to hear your voice better right now. Let me take time and all the effort, and let me give it to you. And Father, I pray that every ear would be open this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, that no matter who it is, whether they've been with you for years or whether they've been with you for a moment, that their ears would be open, that their eyes would be able to see. And Lord, just as You sent those boys in the boat and said, go on across there. And then you came walking out on the water. They couldn't even discern it was you. They said, it's a ghost. Father, I pray that we would have discernment. And we would discern so clearly when it's you speaking and saying, come alongside, come away with me. Give us the strength. Give us the understanding. Give us the wisdom, Lord. We ask for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon every single person in this room. Lord, I thank you for the gifts they are to the whole world. For you said, go and make disciples of all nations. Your call is great on every life that's here. Your power is unending. Your love is immeasurable. And it's from everlasting to everlasting.